Again, the Sufis are famous for teaching stories that work on the subconscious level, like the parables and stories of Jesus. I've mentioned the wise fool, Mullah Nasruddin, who represents both the wise and the foolish, the ripe and the unripe parts of our inner being. And Mullah, in this version of the story, is the wandering Sufi lecturer or teacher who gets invited to different places to give this short sermon that happens on Friday after the communal prayers in Islamic communities. This is the only time during which someone is allowed to speak during the prayers, and sometimes a guest speaker is invited in. Now, a delegation from a particular village comes to Mullah and says, "Mullah, please, we'll offer you a very nice lecture fee if you please come and give us this short 20-minute talk after we've had our communal prayers." And Mullah has heard from his informed sources that this village has the largest collection of ignorant people in the whole area. Their reputation has spread far and wide. So as the story goes, Mullah arrives at the end of the Friday prayers. He goes up onto the little platform in which this talk would be given. He climbs the few stairs, sits in the chair that's designated for the guest speaker, and he asks the community in front of him, "Do any of you know what I'm about to tell you?" And there's a sort of shocked or stunned silence. Finally, someone gets up and says, "No, that's why we invited you." So Mullah says, "Well, then you're all too stupid to tell," and he walks out. The next day, the delegation comes back to Mullah from the village and says, "Oh, Mullah, we know we're the stupidest people in the region, but we've already paid you a very nice fee for your talk, but the talk was too short. Please give us another chance and come back next Friday and try again." So same thing happened. Mullah goes back after the prayers, looks out over the audience and says, "My friends, do any of you know what I'm about to tell you?" And someone who's been designated by the village stands up and says, "Yes, we know." And you guessed it. Mullah says, "Well, then there's no use for me to tell you." And he walks out the second time. Same thing happens. They send the delegation. They bow. They scrape. They try to make him guilty because they've already paid him. He agrees to come a third time. Next Friday rolls around, goes up the little steps, sits on the platform, looks out of the audience. He says, "My friends, do any of you know what I'm about to tell you?" Now, in the 7 days in between, they've thought a bit. They've considered carefully. And so after he poses his question, someone stands up on one side of the audience and says, "Some of us know." Someone stands up on the other side of the audience and says, "Some of us don't." So Mullah tells them, "Well, those who know tell those who don't." And he walks out the third time. Now, many versions of the story end here, but there's one more version which I heard, which I've never seen written down. And this happens many, many years later. We could, sort of in the interim, see Mullah's audience as our own inner voices. Some of us know, and some of us don't. Some of us are in denial. We don't want to know. We don't want to know our next steps. We don't want to be more connected. Some of us do know. You could say this also represents the self that's often caught between inflation, "I know everything," and depression, "I know nothing." You know, we swing from side to side. So Mullah's advice isn't bad. Those who know tell those who don't. Let the self get on with it. If you get all the voices together, something will happen. But as I say, the story doesn't quite end there. The sequel happens many years later. Mullah has moved out of this region. He's traveling in this region of this famous stupid village, the largest collection of ignorant people in the area. And he thinks to himself, I wonder if that village is still there, and I wonder if the people are any more intelligent than they were many years ago when I gave that very short sermon and received, admittedly, a very nice fee for it. And he thinks to himself, well, it's Friday, it's about the right time, it's about midday, I think I'll go to the mosque, I'm in the neighborhood, I'll go and see what's happening. So he comes to the village, everyone is in the mosque, and they finish the communal prayers, and it's almost like they're waiting for something. They're sitting, waiting expectantly, so he thinks to himself, oh, what the heck? So he goes, climbs up the little stairs onto the platform, looks out over the group, and he says, does anyone know what I'm about to tell you? And without saying a word, the whole audience stands up and walks out and leaves Mullah sitting there. Now, this is another level of the story, and I almost hesitate to explain any of this because I've been talking about the way stories work subconsciously. It's something really to meditate on. But again, we can see all of these different actors in the story, Mulla, the crowd, as all being parts of ourself, the teaching parts, the learning parts. And at a certain point, there is a communal response. There is a coming together, which is beyond knowing and not knowing, which allows us to move, you could say, as one, without words.